Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 389 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on microbes and microbiology. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Microbes.
Oh, yeah. And English. Yes.
Oh, I'm good at this stuff.
Microbes, yes.
I think I might have one, but let's not go there. I want to talk about prokaryotes.
Okay.
There are too many to list. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the stuff they do that's different than eukaryotes.
Okay.
No nucleus.
Right.
That is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Also, no other membrane-bound organelles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that only took two tries.
Woo! Okay.
It's my best day ever.
Ooh, your turn for the microbe. Yay! All this sucks.
Sorry. They do have a chunk of DNA that is their main DNA, mm-hmm. usually one circular chromosome.
Cool.
They call it the nucleoid.
Ooh.
If they call it anything other than the chromosome.
The one, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes they call it the chromaton.
Oh, okay.
It's a thing. Mm-hmm. They also occasionally have little tiny loops of other DNA mm-hmm. called plasmids.
Oh, cute.
And those replicate, you bet, both of those.
Okay.
They use machinery that is stuck to the membrane of the cell.
Okay.
As opposed to us, mm-hmm. who use machinery that is somewhere in the middle of our nucleus.
Gotcha.
You know, our nucleus has a membrane. I wonder if the machinery for replication is attached to that, the nuclear membrane.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I don't actually know. And every paper seems to think I already know, so they haven't told me.
Oh, this is neat. You're asking your own questions that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah, you're fired. I don't need you anymore.
I'm nervous all of a sudden.
No sex.
Oh.
That's a eukaryotic thing. They do trade genetic information, mm-hmm. but it's all horizontal gene transfer.
Boy.
Whereas eukaryotes try out new things on their children.
Mm-hmm.
Prokaryotes try out new things on themselves.
Wow. Scientists.
You think that's more ethical? Let's not talk about the ethics of microbes now. There are three ways that these genes get transferred.
Okay.
One is because a virus comes in, or a bacterial phage, to diddle things. The microbes, viruses, love to steal genetics from their host cells and love to just leave their own genetics behind. It's just the thing they do.
They're wandering around, leaking, pretending to be life. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have bacterial conjugation.
Oh.
And this is when one cell will put out what they call pilia,
okay,
or a pilus. Mm-hmm. It's a projection, a chunk of them,
huh.
Pretty strong. And then it grabs the other one,
okay,
hauls it until they're touching, and then they start trading plasmids.
How is this not sex?
It does sound a little sexy, doesn't it?
Yes.
The one that's doing this will snip
the
one
male.
Of its plasmid. Snips one of its plasmid rings, and then pulls the two chains apart.
Mm-hmm.
Its DNA, and sends one of those chains to the receiver.
Okay,
and keeps one for himself, and then both of them then turn them back into loops and put a new chain, the complementary chain, on it.
So
it turns back into a regular plasmid, and everyone can move on with their lives.
Okay.
Plasmids are kind of funny, actually, because plasmids aren't always necessary for the particular prokaryote's life.
Okay.
But it can give you things like resistance to various antibiotics and the like.
Oh, cool.
All right, last way. They call this transformation.
Okay.
If the cells are in a receptive state, they will grab DNA from their environment. Naked DNA, which also sounds kind of sexy, and pulls it inside themselves and incorporates it into their nucleoid.
It's just floating around them, or is it, did a cell burst? Or I mean,
This is the funny thing is they usually do this when they have been growing a lot, right? Into the logarithmic growth stage.
Oh, gotcha.
And then something happens that can damage their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these usually just have the one chromosome, but while they're splitting or budding or whichever way they make babies, they often end up with more than one copy of the chromosome.
Oh.
Sort of a prerequisite for making a baby.
Right.
It's unclear, nobody seems to know whether or not they deliberately spit out some of their chromosomes to help out their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever is damaging their DNA has probably killed some of them.
So it's like a safety net, like just fling it away.
Yeah, you know? I mean, first they aggregate, they clump together, and then they start doing this thing.
This is so weird. And yes, all of it sounds sexy to me.
Anyway, yeah, once all of this is incorporated into everybody's genome, they can start doing their regular reproductive cycle, which has nothing to do with sex.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, this sort of stuff takes energy.
Yes.
And we where did they? We talked about that Monday. On Monday. Today is brought to you by the AI Cafe, guaranteed to serve nothing but the finest 100% artificial flavors and colors.
I don't want to go.
Don't you? It's run by robots. But we're not talking robots, we're talking prokaryotes.
There, you could argue. No, you can't.
Right. They're somewhat robot-like, somewhat mechanistic. Right?
You get simple life, and you're like, that is so much
just... You're the simple stuff, it ain't all that simple.
Yeah, I think of spiders and their webs, and I'm like, it's just some weird program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I've seen them on drugs. And,
and the webs they made. Yeah. I remember those pictures. Spiders are eukaryotes.
Yes.
As are all multicellular life forms that we know of. I'm trying to do a UFO noise here. No.
That was spooky.
Thanks.
No, I like it. I like it.
All right. So ATP. I remember this beast, but it's worth reviewing. It's a complicated molecule with three phosphates stuck on the end of it.
Yes, indeed.
And the phosphates are, when they're not attached to each other, they're negative ions.
Okay.
So when you got more than one stuck together, if you break them apart, like charges repel.
Yes.
They don't just come apart. They go boing.
Okay.
You should hear the other take where I totally failed to say that.
Boing. Who knew? It's such a difficult word.
So if you got something like you want to be able to snap together a couple of amino acids to start making a protein, you can sort of grab onto one end of this molecule and maybe the other. And then break apart the ATP.
Uh-huh.
And then when it goes boing.
Success. Yes.
Your machinery takes over.
Huh.
And the thing happens.
The thing. Life. What's the thing?
The thing. Well, life. Yeah. What's the thing? On a t-shirt. Anyway, once you've broken one of those phosphates off, you kind of want to be able to put it back on.
That would be difficult with the like charges.
You got to push pretty hard until it sort of snaps into place. And this is pretty typical of molecular bonds in general. If they are going to produce a lot of energy, it takes a little energy to break them, and then they'll kick off more. Or it takes a lot of energy to put them together, but you eventually get a click. It can go the other way, though. Sometimes you break them apart, and they don't want to leave, and you have to sort of drag them apart. Not with phosphates, though. Good old phosphates.
Boing.
Anyway, we got a lot of ways, and by we, I mean all of life, have a lot of ways of sticking that phosphate group back on the end there.
Okay.
Like fermentation.
Okay.
Which we've talked about before.
Yes.
Or various kinds of photosynthesis. Okay. Usually what happens is the photosynthesis makes the fuel, and then that gets broken apart to run the machinery, to put the ATP together to run the machinery.
Okay, gotcha.
I get an award for sentences today.
English is your superpower.
That's not the only way we run machinery, though.
No.
We also have, or especially prokaryotes, have a proton gradient.
Okay.
So, like in the mitochondria, which looks suspiciously like this other bacteria, both of them fold up their outer membrane to make these little pockets.
Okay.
And they start shoving protons into there.
Okay.
Without electrons. It's basically hydrogen without an electron.
Uh-huh.
Although there's isotopes and other, let's not get complicated.
You're right.
This is making an electric charge in there.
Okay.
So the longer you're doing this, the harder it is to do.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it starts to leak.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is usually done on purpose in order to do things like spin your flagell motor.
Well, okay.
You know, you got your little corkscrew on the front of your prokaryote self.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, leak a proton or two through there and spin it.
Oh, you're kidding me. Nice. Okay.
And for our mitochondria and several bacteria, that proton leaking mechanism spins a thingy that puts that phosphate back on the end.
Oh, okay.
Fun.
Yeah. Does it count as momentum on that scale? I mean...
There still is momentum, even on that scale. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, welcome back from Monday.
Yes.
I have to introduce you to an entirely new kingdom of nature.
Cool.
Called Archaea.
Uh-huh.
It used to be called Archaeobacteria.
Okay.
I was probably pronounced Archaea, because, I mean, the word means old, like archaeologist or archive.
Archaic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Originally found in extreme environments, like, you know, super hot sulfur springs and the like.
Oh, those guys. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Turned out to be ubiquitous. They're everywhere. It seems to happen a lot in microbiology. Like, hey, we discovered something new in this strange corner of the world. Oh, wait, they're everywhere.
They were so surprised to see it in the one spot.
Yeah, but they're prokaryotes. They share some things in common with bacteria. They also share some things in common with eukaryotes.
Okay.
Like if you drew the Venn diagram, there's stuff that overlaps all three. Like everybody uses ATP.
Yes.
For example, everybody uses proton gradients.
Okay.
Even though eukaryotes cheat and use organelles to do that sort of thing.
Cheat. I mean, yeah, they just engineered a better way.
No, they compartmentalize.
That's there you go, yeah.
I knew there was a corporate speak for this somewhere. But the Archaea make different lipids than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
They use ether bonds instead of ester bonds.
Ether bunny?
Yeah. That's as far as we need to go. We don't need to dive too far into chemistry here. They also have enzymes and DNA involved in the act of turning part of the DNA into a messenger RNA molecule.
Right.
And the part where it goes and becomes a protein.
Ah.
Those are very similar to what eukaryotes do for the same thing.
Huh.
And not much like what the bacteria are doing for that.
Huh. So they're like maybe a bridge species? Or
maybe. One of the many possible thingies is thought that these archaea and bacteria split apart long, long ago.
Right.
And then probably the archaea somehow turned into eukaryotes, which means, at the very least, they had to find a nucleus somewhere.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.